Jesus is building his church, and we are choosing to be part of it because there is no greater mission. I got to warn you ahead of time. Today's Vision Sunday. Everybody say vision.
Vision.
How many love that you can see, even if you've got glasses or contacts? Some of you are like, no, I wish I didn't see. Well, all of us appreciate our vision. Today's Vision Sunday. And I'm just letting you know right now, I've got a bold message for you. I'm going to be all up in your business right now. You ready for that? Okay, some of you are like, no, I wish I was. I'm looking at you guys in the back row right now. Yeah, right there. You know who I'm talking about. I started wearing contacts a few years ago, and I struggled with it because I have large hands, and I struggle with sticking my fingers in my eyeball. Anybody else struggle with that? It's not, you're like, your finger's not meant to be there. So I struggled with putting the contacts in, and I have astigmatism, which means my eye is mutated. It's not the right shape, and so I have to have a specialty contact. Well, one day I put my contacts in, and I'm driving, and I'm like, I cannot see. I kept doing this, and I'm putting my finger in my eye, which is apparently what you're supposed to do. Keep poking my eye, and I'm like getting mad. I'm like, gosh, I hate these contacts. It's driving me crazy. So I get home, and I take it out, and I realize I had put two contacts in the same eye because I'm a genius. Vision is important to life. How many know that's true? Come on, wake up with me. Vision is important to life. How many know that's true?
Yes.
It's true. We need vision for so many things, and otherwise, if we lack vision, if it's foggy or out of focus, or it causes confusion and frustration, and you're not able to get to your goal, you're not able to move forward because you just can't see it. It's super frustrating. And so we need vision, and we need vision not only just in our bodies, but we need vision in the church. We need vision in the church. In fact, we need our vision to be clear, focused, and godly. Can we all say this out loud together? Ready? Clear, focused, and godly. That's what we want. We want that kind of vision, and we want it not only just for our lives, but we want it for the church around the world, and we want it for the local church, especially here at Fusion Christian Church. You see, we don't want our vision, we want God's vision. Who would be in agreement with that? We want God's vision, not our vision. We don't want to make something up and just say, we're winging it, we just kind of made this thing up, and hopefully God will bless it. No, that's not what we want. We want God's vision. See, we never want to chase a vision God hasn't given. So I'm going to need to write that down and put it on your refrigerator. Because we chase all kinds of things in our life, don't we? We chase all kinds of vision and all kinds of plan, and sometimes we can get in danger of doing that in the church. We chase all kinds of things, but we never want to chase a vision that God hasn't given. Because if it's not from God, God won't bless it. He won't bless it. And I want God to bless it. I want God to bless this church. I want Him to bless your life. We never want to chase something that God hasn't given. So what is God's plan? What's God's plan for Fusion Christian Church? You know, in full transparency, I struggled with this question early on in our church life when we planted. You know, next month we will celebrate 19 years as a church. Isn't that amazing? 19 years. The big applause should go to my poor wife. She's such a big helper to me. And 19 years. And so early on in the church, I struggled with this question because people would ask me, as a young church planner, hey, what's your vision for the church? And I would like, what is my vision for the church? And I struggled with it because I'd see all these other churches and they had like all these great programs and they were, you know, reaching all the orphans of the world and all the homeless of the world and doing all these things for addicts and people, you know, single moms and single dads and doing all these things. And I'm like, this is kind of like our mission as a church. And I just struggled with it. I wrestled with it because part of me felt like I was failing because I didn't have a similar vision that they were doing in their church. And then I came to this epiphany, this spiritual moment where God said, wait a minute, that's not my vision for the church. Not that those things aren't great and we shouldn't do those things, but those things help to fulfill the ultimate vision of the church, God's ultimate plan for the church. And do you know what it is? God's plan A has always been and will always be to build his church. That's the vision. That's the plan. That's the goal. That's always been God's vision. In fact, God has never had a plan B. I want you to think about that. He's never had a plan B. He's like, well, if this doesn't work out, what do you think, Jesus? What should we do next? That's not how it works with God. He's only ever had a plan A. It's hard for us to comprehend that because we live our lives with plan B. There's always a plan B. Well, honey, if this dinner doesn't work out, then I guess we're getting takeout, plan B. This job doesn't work out, what are we going to do? Plan B, I get a new job. If this relationship doesn't work out, what plan B? I'm just going to get a new relationship. If this church doesn't work out, the pastor doesn't preach like I like him to, what happens? Oh, plan B, I'm going to get a new church. No, you're not. You guys are so quiet at that point. Like, was he reading my thoughts? It's been in my mind for like 5 minutes. We live our life with plan B. We've always got an alternate plan, something else. God doesn't have an alternate plan. His plan has always been to build his church. That's his plan. Jesus said as much in Matthew chapter 16 when he said this, I will build my what? Church. Come on, like you love the word. He's what?
Church.
His church. And I love it so much, I'm going to tell you what's not going to stop me. He says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to put it to you this way, and I want you to think about this. We believe as Christians, if you're a Christian today, that death offers you two options, hell or heaven. Nod your head if you're listening to me. Hell or heaven, okay? And so think about it this way. There is an open invitation for everyone on the planet who's ever lived to go to hell. Open invitation, come as you are. And the truth is, every single person accepts that invitation at birth because we are born sinners. And you don't have to change anything about yourself. You don't have to do anything God says. You don't have to do anything in the Word of God. You just got that invitation and you can do whatever you want. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, baby. I'm on my way to hell and I'm going to enjoy my time. And when I get there, it's going to be a party. Well, that's not how God describes hell at all. In fact, it says it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of great sorrow and torment. It's not a place we want to be invited to. But everybody's got that invite, and we've all responded because of our sin, attending. It's kind of sad, isn't it? But the good news is there's also another invitation out there. It's from Jesus, and it's an invitation to a relationship with him and an eternity in heaven. And that invitation is open to anyone who wants to come. Anybody can accept that invite from God. It says, will you come? First, believe in my son, Jesus Christ, and you're in. Not everybody accepts that invitation. You come to Jesus as you are, but he won't leave you as you are because he transforms us into a new person by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what that's called? That's called building the church. That's called reaching people who are far from God. That's what building a church is reaching people who don't know him. And God is taking people who didn't know him to come to know him and building them into a spiritual house called, I'm going to wait in case you don't know the answer, called the church. You see, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, as you come to him, who's him? Jesus. The living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. He's the living stone. That means he's the first foundation stone that the church is built on. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. That house is his church. The priesthood is the people who serve in the house of God, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, what? Through Jesus Christ, the invitation giver. And so Jesus is the foundation stone, and he's like, listen, I'm going to build my church, and nothing's going to stop me from doing that, and I'm going to build it with the lives of people who accept my invitation, and they're going to become like living stones into a spiritual house to offer acceptable priesthood sacrifices of service with their life, holy and pleasing to him, because I'm going to build my house and it's going to be full of people. And everyone's invited to that. And he's building it. He's building it. And nothing's going to stop him from doing that. Do you know what that means? It means, if I could be so bold, that there is not a chance in hell that hell can stop him. And I want you to think about that in the context of your life. Because here's what the Bible also says in 1 Peter. It says, but you, everybody say that's me. You are a chosen people. You've been chosen to receive the invite. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness, out of that wrong invitation, into the right invitation of his wonderful light. Amen to that. Once you were not a people, you were just kind of doing your own thing, but now that you've accepted, right, the invitation, you are the people of God, the church of the living God, built on the person of Jesus Christ, and once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Do you know what that's called? Building the church. Taking all these people, Jesus said, all these wayward people who were living life without me, living life in their sin, doomed to only accept their one invitation, and I've invited them into a relationship with me, and I'm going to transform their life by them being born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. They're going to become a new creation out of darkness into the marvelous light, and they're going to serve me as my people. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's called building the church. You see, if we could just sum it up with one sentence, it's this: Jesus died to build his church. I'm going to drive this home. I'm going to say it so much today, you're going to be like, what did he preach about? That Jesus died to build his church. And you get to be part of it. So let me ask you this question. Because I'm going to have some bold things to say to you in just a few minutes as a church. But let's start with this. Since Jesus gave his life to build the church, why wouldn't we want to be part of what he started? If he died, since he died, to start his church, why would we not want to be part of what Jesus died to start? There is no greater mission in the world. There is no greater thing to live for in the world than that. There is no greater purpose in the world than that, than to be part of what Jesus is doing, to be part of what he's called us to do, and we want to be part of it. In fact, this is why we sum it up this way as a church. Our mission statement is this: to love God. Everyone say, love God. Love others, and tell everyone. You see, we love God, and because we love God, that drives us to love other people. Why? Because if God loves them, we love them too. And we love them so much that we tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. God has an invitation for you to come to him and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ so that you would have a reason for living and a home in heaven. Will you accept the invitation? We love God, we love others, and we tell everyone. If we could put it this way, our job as a church, our job as Christians, is to plunder hell to populate heaven. It's to plunder hell to populate heaven. We're taking people out of darkness and moving them into his wonderful light. This should get you excited. This should get you pumped. Because there's nothing greater than that. You know why? Because that has eternal value. Plundering hell to populate heaven. And we are going to build his church. Who's in? Who's in? We're going to build his church. You see, we're going to build his church, and we're going to be on mission to do that. Jesus is building his church, and our mission is to align our lives with what he's doing. This is the vision. There's really, so when people ask me before, hey, what's your vision for the church? The reason I was so confused with the question is because it's kind of a dumb question. What do you mean, what's the vision for the church? The same as it's always been. To reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to do. And everything else that we do, all the ministries to the orphans and the widows, to the homeless, to the needy, to small groups, all those are part of making the overall vision happen. So let's ask this question this morning with all the passion that I can give it. And that's this: how can I be part of making God's vision happen? How can I do it? Everybody say, I. I'm talking about you. So you're asking me the question. How can I, Pastor Zach, how can I be part of making God's vision happen? Well, I'm so glad you asked me. Because I'm going to tell you. And you're going to like it. I don't know about you, but I desperately want to be part of what God's doing. It is an angst within me. God, I don't want to miss what you're doing. God, I want to be part of it. I constantly pray, God, expand our borders, expand our opportunity, expand our mission, expand our ministry, open up opportunities and doors we never thought possible. Lord, we're believing for the blessing. We want to do more, God. Here I am, send me. That's the mission. How can I be part of it? You see, in every vision, there is a you and there is a we. How many know that? You have to do something if we are going to accomplish something. You guys get how that works, right? Yeah. Just like in every area of your life, if you're within a group, every individual has to participate if we are going to make the vision happen. If we are going to plunder hell to populate heaven. If we are going to build the church, then you individually have to do it so that we corporately can be successful. You follow me? So I want to give you some things that you can do that are going to help us as the we to actually fulfill what God has called us to do. So number one, write this down. What can you do? Well, when you grow, we grow more. When you grow, we will never be corporately what you are not becoming individually. So as you grow individually spiritually, guess what? We grow as a church spiritually. As you begin to grow in ministry and service and all those things which we'll talk about, then we begin to grow. If you drive through wine country right now, you will see a lot of the orange trees are full of oranges. And there's a bunch of them on the ground, they're full of oranges. What's interesting is you see hundreds and hundreds, thousands of oranges everywhere. And that one orange tree started with one single seed. One single seed. And it grew and it bore much fruit. That represents your life. When you plant yourself in the things of God and the purpose of God and the plan of God and the word of God, guess what? You're like that seed that grows down and you grow up and you bear much fruit for God. The Bible says in 2 Peter, it says, make every effort in your growing to add to your faith goodness and to goodness knowledge and to knowledge self-control and to self-control perseverance and to perseverance godliness and to godliness mutual affection and to mutual affection love. Add all these things. Keep growing. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. In other words, as you continue to grow, God helps you to become more productive in the things and the purpose and the plan of God. And so as I grow, we grow. As we all collectively say, you know what, I'm going to grow spiritually. I'm going to grow. I'm going to help to grow and build the kingdom of God in the church. And how do we do that? Through service. Because one of the ways we can do that is when you step up, we can serve more. Yeah. Everyone say step up. Good, I like that. Step up. You step up. Get off the bench. I want to put it to you this way. Let's say I lived at your house. The ushers deal with that. Let's say I lived at your house. Okay? Just use your imaginations, okay? Bunch of weirdos. And I live there, and you know, it's been a week or two, but I decide I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to cook or buy groceries. I'm not going to help pay the bills. I'm definitely not going to clean my bathroom or do the laundry. I'm not going to vacuum or mop. I'm not going to mow the lawn, pull the weeds. I'm definitely not picking up after your dog. I just said, I'm not going to do it. What I'm going to do since I live at your house, I'm going to eat whatever you cook or whatever's in the fridge, and I'm going to watch Netflix, and I'm going to use your hot water when I take a shower. And that's it. How many of you would be sick of me living with you after about, you know, a week or two? Maybe I just describe some of your family members. You're like, this guy drives me crazy. He's not doing anything to participate in the home. Let me ask you this. Is this your home, church? I want you to think about that. Some of you have been here for years and you're still not sure. Like, I don't know. A couple more years, I might decide. Is this your home, church? Now think about this. In your home, you have ways in which you serve, and everybody should participate in serving in the home, right? What I've just described to you is thousands upon thousands of Christians who call local churches home who don't help in any way with the home and the care for the home. They don't serve, they don't give, they don't do anything to actually help in any way. They just come, they eat, and they leave. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. I get that there are so many other ways to serve outside the church. I get it. Just like there are so many ways to serve outside of your home. But you don't neglect the home. And if this is your home, church, then you should be, put it bluntly, serving in the home. You should be participating in what we're doing in the kingdom of God. Jesus said this in Matthew 20. He says, you know that the rulers of the world lord it over the people and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. He's talking to Christians, you. He says, instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Everybody say servant. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for, as a ransom for many. So he's saying, you need to follow Christ's example and serve because that's considered ministry greatness. And just like you wouldn't like it and it wouldn't be appropriate for someone to come in your home and say, I'm just going to take, the same way it's not appropriate. I know I'm being blunt right now. I know I'm being right on the nose, but I'm just being as black and white as I can tell it to you. The same way it is inappropriate to come into God's house and do nothing to help the building of the kingdom. And I know for some of you that might make you feel very uncomfortable, and I'm sorry. But we're building a kingdom here. And when you serve, when you step up, we can serve so much more. And when you give, we can do more. Everybody say give.
Give.
Giving is central to following Jesus Christ. It's part of it. If you read your Bibles, you'll see it's key to the Christian life. Giving and generosity is part of what we do as God's people. And there's a reason for that, because every ministry that we do takes financial support. It takes resources to do those things. The Bible says in Proverbs, it says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Giving is central to Christian life, and generosity is part of what we do as believers. If you are a Christian today, we believe in the regular giving of tithes and offerings. There's opportunity to give, and we make that clear to you. Why? Because those things are acts of worship, like Pastor Matt talked about before. And we have other opportunities to give besides your regular tithes and offerings. Right now, many of you know that we're trying to purchase this building so that we might have a place for more ministry and we have a permanent home in the community. This is what's needed for us to have longevity, long past our lifetime. And so we set a goal to raise $1.5 million for phases one and phase two. Phase one, $1 million, was to get the loan, secure the loan so that we could purchase the property. The other $500,000 was to actually set aside so we could renovate and do some things to expand in here. And so I have a big win for you today, and that's this. So far, of the first $1 million, we have raised $430,884.85. And that's a great piece of the pie. We still have more to go, and still needed for phase one means we still need $569,115.15 to the penny. But I believe God can do it. I believe God can do it. I've had so many people over the past 6 months come and tell me, and many of them joking, some of them not, but they say to me, Pastor, when I win the lottery, I'm going to buy you a church. Well, first of all, you're not buying me anything. It's not, right? It's the Lord's house. And you know what? I hope you win. I hope you win the lottery and you get all kinds of money. And I hope you're like that guy in Arkansas last month who won the $1.8 billion jackpot. And I hope you're not like the 95% of people who win the lottery who go bankrupt. I hope you're a godly steward with that money, whatever it is. But let me just tell you, I know a lot of churches, a lot, who have built buildings, who have renovated their buildings, done all kinds of things in the kingdom of God. I don't know one church that built their church because one of their parishioners won the lottery. Not one. You know how they did it? Through faith and the generosity of the people. Through faith and the generosity of the people. Because they said, I'm going to put my treasure where my heart is, and I'm going to say, I'm going to be part of what God's doing in his kingdom, and I'm going to give. Because the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So we want to sow generously. When you give, when you're generous in the house of God, then we can do more ministry. That's just the brass tacks of it. And we're part of building the greatest kingdom in the world, and that is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that means that when you go, we can reach more. Everyone say go. You have a circle of influence in your life that I will never be able to reach. You have people around you in your work, in your family, in your relationships and friendships that I will never be able to reach. That's why you need to go. You need to go and reach them. The Bible says, Jesus told us, he said, all authority in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Everyone say go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. He told us to go. When you go, we can reach more people. When you begin to become a person that says, you know what, I'm going to reach those people around me for Jesus Christ, then that means we become more successful as a church in reaching people who are living in darkness to move them into the wonderful light of Jesus Christ. I want to be part of that. Did you know that last year we actually baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit as commanded in that passage? We baptized 66 people last year. Yeah. That's almost a 40% increase from the year before. I wonder what God will do this year. I'm believing for more. I'm believing that God's going to change more lives. I believe he's going to do more. We're going to go places. We do all kinds of things. We go to Casa Esperanza, Project Touch, Circle of Care, Birth Choice, things in the city. We do stuff with our youth and our kids and VBS and youth camps and all these things to go. And we're going to continue to do it. You know why? Because we're going to reach people that no one else has reached. We're going to reach people that are far from God. That's our goal. One of the things we're going to do this year that we haven't done before is we're actually going to go to Africa. And we're gonna serve in an orphanage there. We're going to go to a children's prison where they put kids in prison for years for stealing bread. We're going to go to a rock quarry where the women, while carrying their children, use a hammer to make gravel for less than $2 a day. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to go serve in the name of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because Jesus is building his church, and we are choosing to be part of it. Because there is no greater mission than that. There is no greater purpose. And to get our hearts right, to get us in the right place, we're going to spend, starting tomorrow, 21 days in prayer and fasting. No, you do not have to fast all 21 days. But we're going to spend 21 days in prayer as a church. And on your Church Center app, every morning, starting tomorrow, I'm going to be sending you out on that little notification there, so you need to get the Church Center app, a little devotion for you for the day, to pray, some verses to read. Say, okay, we're gonna seek God. You know why? Because God, we don't want to miss out on what you're doing. I don't want to miss out on the building of your kingdom, the building of your church. I want to be part of that because there's nothing greater.